You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. Since 2009, HRN podcasts have been exploring the wide world of food, beverage, and agriculture. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
Barryville is a hamlet in rural America, part of the Upper Delaware River Valley in the Western Catskills, but it could be anywhere. Barryville is the climax of civilization. Yeah, the Trump flags are flying, even as gay bikers are rolling through town. This is a hot take on rural America, and whether you're new to rural living, if you've ever been bullied or beaten up in the country, or live in the city and just dream of getting away, this show is for you.
Everything's better in Barryville.
All right. The long-awaited premiere episode.
Calm down, everybody. Welcome to Everything's Better in Barryville. I'm Johnny.
And I'm Mike, and this is the biggest small-town podcast in the world. We're here.
Live and direct from the town of Highland in the hamlet of Barryville.
We're here. Get used to it. So, wow, Johnny, it's been a long time coming. Tell me, how's your joint?
Are you talking about the Stick It In at Barryville Oasis?
What did you think I was talking about?
Well, it's so exciting. We're pumping gas. We're serving tacos. Everything's been great. Saturday night was particularly hilarious. We had a table of like real mixed company. Everybody's having good. Donna Summer's pumping. People are slamming tacos. And a pickup truck shows up with our good friend Fred Reber and some other folks from the Yulin Rod and Gun hunting club up here, and they had I think about six bucks in a dough or something with thistle in their mouths, and everybody ran out into the parking lot to check the parking, you know, the park deer. It was hysterical. I mean it was like, this is exactly what we want this place to be. It was great. We literally had everybody outside oohing and aahing over dead deer. It was great.
Cocktails and venison.
Tacos and venison. We talked to our chef about if he wanted to do venison tacos.
Please, I'm ready for the venison taco. And I guess everyone was bringing the bucks over to the Lawrence Lounge for the buck contest this year.
Yes, and congratulations to our good friend, Lene, who is a waitress and bartender extraordinaire over at Baker's. She, I think, won, from what I can tell from social media, and it was her birthday.
Incredible. Yeah, everything is better in Barryville. You know, I got knocked down a little bit by the COVID, Johnny, and that kind of stuff. But I'm back, and I'm better than ever, and I'm chopping wood, and I'm drinking whiskey in the woods because, you know, that's why I moved here. It's a lot, honestly, it's a lot better than my local bar in Brooklyn.
I felt so bad. Yeah, I mean, it was terrible. You guys got COVID, and then, you know, my partner and I got COVID, and half the town, from what I understand, was sick, the day after my birthday. Bash at the Oasis. So it's been a real COVID season, you know. It's like,
ouch.
Yeah, but I'm glad you and Christine are better, and I'm glad Tiffany Diamond's better, and I'm glad we're rolling everybody.
It was a rough ride, but a warning to everybody, it is hot out there, so be careful, because we love you all. You know, I was down at the farmer's market this weekend, John, singing my songs, and everybody wanted to know. Everybody said, "We saw you guys on horses down yeah. by the Barryville scene." They saw us in the paper, and of course, some people were just driving by and nearly drove off the road.
It was pretty funny, you know, when you get a couple of horses and a couple of dudes in downtown Barryville, and you go riding on the state highway, and you're like, what are you guys looking at, you know?
It was great.
And thank you to our wonderful horsey host Alex was a dream. Tundra, my like mama horse, knew I was terrified. You know, I'm not the horse guy, but you know, this show is about facing our fears. And listen, season two, hopefully we'll make it to season two. We're gonna do a little Britney Spears boa constrictor action. I know we both don't like snakes. Like, you'll see us in belly shirts and slinging around snakes in downtown Barryville.
I'm more scared of Britney Spears or snakes,
or me in a belly shirt.
But it was great. The funny thing is that we were in the paper and they kind of outed me for my sordid past.
I liked that. You know, it was like, you know, with such credits as this great book or this great thing, and then he was also the editor of Screw magazine. That was definitely like a deep dive Wikipedia.
And well, you know, it's not just sex. There are drugs, too. I was the editor of High Times.
Yeah.
As you know. And, you know, listen, you can call me a hippie. You can call me a punk. But I'm a cowboy.
Yeah, you're a cowboy. That's
not
right.
Not an urban cowboy.
No, you're a Berryville cowboy, and that's the way to be.
Can you dig a rhinestone cowboy?
Rhinestone cowboy. I'll join you in that club, and I just can't fit my new Stetson on, you know, over my headphones. But
rookie mistake, John.
I know.
You look pretty. you're okay?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm all right.
Okay. Because I think, you know, you said that horse spooked you a little bit.
I'm still a little white in the face. Yeah, my sister-in-law was in from South Carolina, and she was laughing her ass off at me the whole time, and she goes, "Ooh, I don't know if this is gonna work." And I said, "Well, look, you know, it's one maiden voyage, and I'm gonna go visit Tundra, though. I'm gonna bring her carrots and thank her again for her services."
All right. Everything is better in Berryville. And today is our first show. We have some great guests today, John. We've got local luminary Martha Eldred Wurtzel.
I could not be more excited. And there's nobody better to be the inaugural guest than what we have today.
And international superstar and citizen of Berryville, Amber Tamblyn.
Activist, feminist, author, actress, all-around legend. She's a wonderful
poet,
woman.
Punk princess, and much, much more. And we have our friends, the local punk rock band. I love saying that because it's so Gilmore Girls.
Even though they're like an international couple from other parts of the world, they settle here in Berryville, and they're our own punk band.
They're our local punk band. The Basic Bitches are here to sing us a holiday song. All that and more right after this.
Everything's better in Berryville.
All right, we're back. Can you dig it? Johnny, who's our first guest today?
So this guest is really special for us, and I can't believe she agreed to be here today in the studio. We're really excited to have her. We have Martha Eldred Wurtzel. And I just have to tell you guys, Martha is the namesake of the hamlet of Eldred. Her family is. She's been here all of her life. She's basically built a house right next to where she grew up. Her and her husband, Bill, traveled all around in the military and ended up settling back here where she raised her kids. They both were graduates of the Eldred Central School District. They graduated in 1961 and were high school sweethearts and raised a wonderful family here and ran the general store for a long time. She worked at PEX, is where I think we met. You told me, I said, I had a shirt on that said like love not bombs or food not bombs. And you were like, nice t-shirt. We got to know each other. Yeah. And that's how we met, something like that. So it was great. But Martha Eldred Wurtzel is with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't say enough about this legend of the town of Highland.
All right. OG, town of Highland, Eldred. So I wanted to ask you, you know, Martha, this town changes so much, so fast since I got here. Everyone's talking about it changing. There's so many new businesses coming in and new people coming in. But you've been here a while. So what was the golden age of Berryville, the town of Highland?
Or is it right now?
Oh, no. No.
God, I love you.
You know, when I grew up here, we had a lot of different things. We had a bowling alley that you could, you know, you had to set your own. Well, my husband set pins. But we had you could go horseback riding. You could go roller skating. We had a beautiful roller skating rink in Euland. We had a theater in Berryville called the Riviera where we could get first run movies. There was always things for us kids to do growing up. In Euland, we had Times Square. And that was a really fun place to be. And there were plenty of jobs. In the summer, all of us worked at boarding houses or any of the outdoor activities.
How many boarding houses were there in downtown Berryville and around?
In Berryville itself was the Spring House. In Euland, they had Maple Grove Farm. There was some places over on the lake that the Donnellys ran. So, I mean, and Highland Lake, we had the casino, which was really fun.
Aren't there a couple slot machines at the bottom of Highland Lake?
I believe there's more than just a few. I don't know about anybody's, but there's slot machines. But it was a good place. It was a good place to grow up. None of us knew that we were poor because there was a roof overhead, food on the table, and plenty of love. And it was just not a bad place to raise kids.
That's great. And I mean, what do you think? I mean, you know, it's always been a sort of transient town, you know, like there's always been an influx of city people, especially during the summers. And then a lot of those city people have gone on to, you know, make this place their home. And there was a train, actually, that led into Shohola. So that changed the landscape a lot. We had a lot of tourists. Do you think that the tourists are a benefit to the town? Or do you think they're an asset? Or do you think they're a discrepancy? Or a deficit, sorry.
Oh, no. We always laughed at the Weary Eerie when they would bring people into town. And no, we always loved to have the visitors come. They brought money into the town in the summer. Some of them would come back in the winter to enjoy ice skating and skiing and all that kind of stuff. I had no problems with visitors and tourists. And after Bill and I got married and we moved away, we would always come home a couple of weeks in the summer with the kids. But we always stayed and visited family. So I never really got to know too much about what was going on around the lakes and such, because it just wasn't anything that interested us. We were just more interested in being with family. And it wasn't until we moved home in 83, that we really got to know all the stuff that was going on while we were in the military.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I feel like we're starting to have like a big resurgence in this town. I think COVID really brought a lot of people to our town and people said, hey, I can make a home out of this. So we're seeing the sort of reaction to all that, people build what they get used to or what they need in town. And I feel like we're experiencing a little bit of a resurgence in a good way.
Yeah. The only thing that I'm really against 100% is that FIMCO, that Kittatinny, used to be Kittatinny, that's in my backyard, so to speak. We don't need it here in town. I just can't say enough about having that kind of an organization in town. That we don't have the infrastructure, number one, to take care of groups of that many people. In the summertime, yes, with the canoe liveries opened up, they bring needed revenue to the town. They bring lots of fun people to the town. But in October, they're gone. And we don't have a constable. We have a volunteer fire department, a volunteer ambulance corps. And if there's a major problem, we don't have the people to take care of it.
Martha holds and wears many, many hats in this town. And I wanted to talk to you about it. I know you've been a member of the Lions Club for over 32 years. I know that you are heading up the American Legion bake sale, where I grabbed a bunch of soup and cookies and all kinds of great treats. And then I won a basket of wine. So I have no complaints here. Tell us a little bit about your public service and if you feel like you are one of like many people that just trade hats and lead up organizations, because that's how I feel a little bit sometimes.
Well, I started out when we were in the military. I was volunteered for a lot of different things because nobody would hire me because I had kids. There was job discrimination in those days. So I worked at the school. We started our own parent-teacher organization. And I was actually nominated for Air Force Wife of the Year in the late 70s. And not that I won anything, but my certificate will give me a free cup of coffee somewhere along the line. But when we moved back home, the first organization I joined was the Shohola Volunteer Ladies Auxiliary. And that disbanded, but I also was a member of the Yulin Fire Department.
For you folks at home, Shohola is just right across the Delaware River on the Pennsylvania side.
So then I joined the Yulin Fire Department Ladies Auxiliary, and I've been president of the Ladies Auxiliary for probably 20 plus years. It's a nice organization, but most of us are in our late 60s, early 70s. Some of us are in our 80s. So we don't meet that much, and thank goodness we haven't had any major fires that require us to go cook for the guys. And then I belong to the Lions Club. 31 or 32 years. I became a member of the American Legion Ladies Auxiliary, and I was only able to start going to the meetings once I retired because they met on Wednesdays, and I was a worker at PECS. So those are, and I worked at church, and we're at St. Anne's over in Chihola.
And she's also like our unofficial Mrs. Claus. When I went to go pick up Martha, she has Christmas village after Christmas village all over her house. It's the most joyous, sweet thing that I've ever seen. And she's got quite a collection. So, and I think Bill, you said, started you off in the 90s?
Yeah, early 90s. He took me to the Rockaway Mall and told me to pick out three buildings, and I'm a crazy Santa Claus fan, so I picked out the North Pole Village, and it started out with three buildings. Now I have 89, plus a few lighthouses scattered around the house.
It sounds dangerous, like overdevelopment to me.
Well, I haven't bought a new building in years because I have no place to put them.
Oh, damn. That was going to be your parting gift for coming and doing the show today.
I'm thinking about building a roller coaster behind my house. Oh. How do you think that would go over?
Oh, no, not at all. We don't need roller coasters.
Oh, God, here we go again.
I really applaud your activism and you digging in on these issues. There are a lot of changes here. And, you know, we could use a bowling alley, a movie theater, and a roller rink, John. While you're busy starting your disco taco bar, have you considered a bowling alley, a roller rink, or a movie theater?
Listen, I would be so excited if the Riviera came back. I mean, that seems like it was such a golden age of this town.
Oh, it was fun.
When we were building the Stick It In, and the floorboards was all movie posters from the Riviera. So I actually ended up making some copies for the Gutekunst family. Lacey Gutekunst gave them to her relatives because I think her uncle used to own the movie theater. And right. Then Fred Reber's family owned Reber's right across the street. And it was told to me that like people would either come from the city and come and do an early dinner and then go to the movies, or once the movies let out, they would go and it would just be a raucous party over there.
Oh yeah, yeah, and we also had Frank Steiner there right by the Riviera Theater, so that was always. You left the theater, you could go over to Frank's and get the most delicious milkshakes in the whole wide world.
Oh, wow. Well, we're going to bring that back. I feel like the golden age is upon us. We'll make you proud, Martha. You just wait and see.
All right. Well, you know what, John? We got on the phone coming up is Amber is waiting for us. We're going to take a quick break. Martha, so much for coming out today.
You're very welcome.
Come back after the frost and we'll have milkshakes.
All right.
Do you want to stick around and talk to Amber a little bit with us?
Oh, sure. I'll listen.
I know you guys are friends, right?
Oh, yeah. I've watched her when she was on General Hospital.
Oh, my God. All right. I love it. All right. She's going to love that one, too.
All right. We'll be right back with soap star Amber Tamblyn and so much more.
Everything's better in Berryville.
This episode is brought to you by Roberta's, home of Heritage Radio Network for 10 years. Roberta's was founded in Bushwick in 2008 and has become one of the most iconic restaurants in the country. HRN made its home inside of Roberta's in 2009, and together they have become part of the DIY fabric of the neighborhood. Roberta's, the pizza restaurant, is open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week and serves much more than just the famous wood-fired pizzas. Their team dreams up new salads, pastas, and sandwiches on the regular. Roberta's Tiki Bar is alive and well in the back garden, serving up frozen drinks in the summer and hot toddies in the winter. Stop by the bakery and takeout spot next door for fresh breads, sticky buns, and pizzas to go. But Roberta's also extends beyond Bushwick, with multiple locations in New York City and now in Los Angeles. You can also find their frozen pies in grocery stores around the country. The spirit of Roberta's, like Heritage Radio Network, is everywhere. Here's to many more years of pizza-powered radio. Learn more about Roberta's at robertaspizza.com.
All right, and we're back. And our next guest is yet another Berryville legend. John, the kids just keep on coming. A star of screens big and small. You might know her from General Hospital, where she starred as Emily Quartermain, or perhaps the film Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, maybe the TV series Why, The Last Man, or you might have seen any of her books at your local bookshop, including fiction and books of poetry, lauded by no less than one of my heroes, Lawrence Ferlinghetti, which I guess makes her kind of a beatnik. And most recently, a book of essays she's edited, Listening in the Dark, Women Reclaiming the Power of Intuition. Boy, it really is girl power on the radio today here in Berryville.
I'm feeling it. I'm a riot girl. I know. Amber is too.
And the book features such marquee names as her former co-star America Ferrera, Amy Poehler, and her mom, Bonnie Tamblyn. But of course, there's no one more charming than the editor herself, our guest, author, actress, activist, poet, and citizen of Berryville. Let's hear it for Amber Tamblyn.
All right. What an intro, Mike.
Take a bow.
It's what I did over my summer vacation.
I'm taking you on tour with me on book tour.
I love it. Amber, I have to tell you, I've been ferociously reading your book, and I keep rereading passages and rereading passages. And one of my favorite essays, aside from your glowing intro, is your mother's essay. Like, there's something so incredible about the way that woman communicates. I love her music. What and who and how did you select the people who are in your book, and what were the sort of qualifiers of to the women who wrote the essays for Listening in the Dark?
Yeah, well, thank you. I you know, and by the way, my mom is as you know, obsessed with Berryville and that she wants to live there. So she's trying to manifest it with her intuition.
She's doing a great job.
She can make it come true. Yeah. She's charming all the locals. For me, I really wanted to explore a book that talked about our intuitive intelligence and that voice inside that tells us to do something or tells us not to do something, that is sort of in control of the outcome of our life or our destiny that we sometimes ignore. And so for me, I knew I wanted it to be a diverse body of voices. I wanted young women. I wanted older women. I wanted women of color. I wanted trans women. I wanted cis women. I wanted everybody, because I really wanted it to feel like a unified collection of stories about women's relationship to that voice inside, their gut instinct. And I loved editing my mom's essay, even though we, of course, got in fights all the time because I thought I was right. She was like, excuse me, who birthed you? Whose body did you come out of?
Oh, the editor-author relationship taken to new highs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Mike was just telling me horror stories about that.
Yeah. And my mom, like part of my part, I think I would credit my mom almost in totality with my communicative ability and my ability to get into conversations, you know, like this is because of her and her training as a facilitator and, you know, a teacher and everything she's done. So I just really wanted to find different kinds of women from different walks of life.
I love it. And I think it's so impressive that you managed to get, you know, I would call Bonnie a part-time resident of Berryville, but also Meredith Tolleson. I can't believe there's three women of Berryville in your best-selling book.
Yes, indeed. And Meredith, of course, is an incredible editor and journalist. She also happens to be trans, and she writes a lot about her experience sort of post-transition versus pre-transition and just the different kind of intuitive lens that she had after that experience. To me, it's one of the most profound essays in the book. Really, really beautiful about becoming yourself, about your identity and sort of how that informs, you know, your gut instinct and the voice inside that you thought you knew.
Yeah, I can't say enough about the seamlessness between essays. You know, like you really do feel, while you're getting to know these different women through their voices, it's really incredible to just sort of like, you feel that through line of that energy about women's intuition. And if you don't mind, I want to ask Martha a quick question about women's intuition. You know, Amber's brought up this amazing topic, you know, and I think we all have voices inside of us, but can you think of a time when you were guided by your intuition?
Oh, yeah. The one that comes to mind was when our son Paul got sick. His wife called me and she said, I think Paul's having a stroke. So I says, well, get him up to the hospital. I'll meet you there. And Paul had already had one brain surgery. So I was kind of sure in my own mind of thinking that this was, you know, going to be another problem. So when we got to the hospital, I had to fight to get a doctor to even look at him, which was really kind of sad. But the doctor came back and he said to Paul, he says, you have brain cancer. And immediately I went into a mama bear mode and I said, getting him out of here. I'm going to take him down to Westchester because that's where his doctor was who did his brain surgery. And it was a good thing we did because Paul needed a second brain surgery. He did not have brain cancer. And he had just gotten full custody of his youngest son, and he was afraid that he was going to die. And, you know, there's nothing worse for a mother than to think that her son is not going to live to see his son grow up.
Well, that's an amazing story of women's intuition. Amber, what would you say is one of your, you know, sort of highlights of your intuition? I know you've called births. I know you've sniffed out pregnancies on people before, you know, and the timing of this book couldn't be better. But tell us a little bit about your intuition and your experiences.
Martha, that was an incredible story and just such a powerful example of, you know, when something doesn't feel right. And sometimes we don't always have the answer for how to harness that. And sometimes we confuse our intuitive gut with anxiety, right? And like you second guess yourself, which is, you know, comes from a long, many, many years and decades and generations of conditioning to distrust ourselves, especially as women. So that's a very powerful example of when you knew something wasn't right and you needed to go get a second opinion and you just went and did it.
Yeah. I just said to the, one of the nurses up there, I said, I need an ambulance to take him to Westchester, and I'm not taking no for an answer. And I said to my daughter-in-law, I said, we'll go in my car, and you can drive, because I was so upset with this doctor who told Paul that he had cancer that I just could not bear to even think about anything else other than following the ambulance to the hospital.
Powerful.
Yep. And Amber, what's sort of a glowing intuition that you've had, or like any sort of life-defining moments?
Ooh, well, I think, you know, for me, intuition has always sort of been there for me creatively as a writer and thinking about how to write what I'm feeling and put that out into the world. And I think for many, many years, especially as an actor, I wasn't really aware of how powerful that part of me was, even though I was still writing and a writer during all that other career stuff. But it was really like this gut check that kept happening and saying, you need to be writing more. This is what's right for you. The acting thing is fine, but that's not all you are. And there was there always felt like there was this bigger purpose that I was in need of reaching for. And so I would say that like my practice with my intuitive process and that voice inside was more long term. It wasn't one single experience.
So, Amber, I wanted to ask, bringing you back to sort of the premise of the show, of living in Barryville and the small town living. You're out on a book tour right now. You've been on to your TV star. A lot of people here know you. But how was it when you came up here making friends in a small town? And also, you're an astounding activist, as is Martha, which is amazing. How did you find, how was that all received? And how do you make friends in a small town, especially when, you know, you're on TV and on the big screen all the time?
Well, you know, my husband and I have lived in the Barryville area for 16 years almost. So we've been there a long time. We love it. Some of the things that we love about it is that it feels authentic. It feels real. There's good people there. There's good culture there. We like that feeling. It doesn't feel sort of like a vacation spot necessarily, or it doesn't feel like the Catskills. No offense to the Catskills, but they're just not as cool as us, you know, over on the other side, over on the Hudson Valley side. So we just love it. You know, for instance, we're going to do, I'm kind of excited. I'll tell you guys this now. We just confirmed it. We're going to do on the winter solstice, which is December 21st. We're going to do an event for the book down at the Barryville General. So I'll be there signing books, and we're going to kind of just have like a very fun, witchy, women's intuition cocktail hour that I'm excited about. So,
you know, I gave John this little sound effects toy, and I swear to God, it's like a cat with a little toy mouse.
Is that a timer telling you to be quiet?
No, it was like bonus points for great ideas, and we're excited to see you at the General. That sounds amazing.
I like push the little springy sound. I like that one.
Yeah, we want to remain buoyant, obviously, at all times.
Oh my God.
This is my button. Wait, here's my button.
Everything's better.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
Amber, what's your next stop on the book tour?
Well, my next stop is in DC. We're doing an event with Huma Abedin. Ooh. And Dr. Dara Kass, both of which write beautiful essays in the book about politics and about being an emergency medicine physician and sort of the gut check, what you have to, the kind of gut decisions you have to make in emergency life or death situations. So I'll be in DC talking to them. And then I'm going to do this little thing in Barryville, which I'm so excited about, because who doesn't want to talk about their life's work projects while also just like hanging out with your local friends and having a cocktail? I love it.
We can't wait.
I cannot wait. Go clean up the swamp in Washington. Would you, Amber, please?
I'm on it, Mike. I'll be right back. I'm on it.
And I trust you like no one else.
I have to tell you, after I saw you on that round table on MSNBC, have you ever considered politics? Is it something you would even entertain?
You know what? Everyone asked me this after I did the thing on The View this last time, which I've done The View many, many times. But I've been asked this a lot, and it's doubtful, just because I know, you know, as a pollster, as someone who's sort of helped a lot of campaigns,
I know how dirty it can be on the inside and how unenjoyable it is. And I think you're far more effective on the outside, you know, working sort of out in the field, as they say. And that's really where my joy comes from. I wouldn't want to be in a position where my whole family was getting scrutinized and lied about. And especially in this day and age, it just feels safer to be sort of out there in the world. As a citizen.
And it gets rough in a small town. People can't imagine how rough small town politics. I had no idea until I got here. I was registered an independent. I know I'm sitting at a table with some Democratic Party activists. I was always registered independent because I don't like the corporate parties. I didn't want to be a member of a party that would have someone like me as a member. I only signed up because I wanted to support John Pizzolatto in his run for town supervisor in the caucus, and you had to be a Democrat to join, and that's how
Mike, I
got on board. But
Thank you, Amber. Thank you, Martha.
I like the way Martha really lit up when you said Huma. You know, I was like, okay, I'm in. Okay, you're a bunch of Democratic groupies.
I felt that same way about John's run, and you know, and John, I feel like you're like the unofficial town mayor anyway, because you do so much for the community, and Berryville is an exceptional, amazing place because of you, and I will literally argue anyone under the table over that fact. But the truth of the matter is, you know, with politics, it can get really messy, and sometimes nepotism wins the day. And that's just where we're at. But the good thing is that, you know, we're a strong, powerful community that loves each other no matter what. And we have wonderful things to offer. And one of them is both Johnny and this cool podcast, which I can't wait to listen to.
and Amber, you are really one of the shining stars, as is Martha, in this town that makes it great. So thank you so much for being a guest today.
Woo-hoo!
We loved having you. We love you. We love your family. And we'd love to have you back sometime.
And have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Martha. You too.
All right, Amber. I'll see you at the farmer's market. I'll see you at the Berryville General for your book signing.
They're perfect. See you there.
Have a great afternoon.
Thanks, Amber.
Bye.
All right.
Bye, guys.
Thank you, Amber, and thank you, Martha. This has been going pretty good for a first show right out of the gate.
I could not be more thrilled. I'm just beaming. All right, literally. Well.
So great, you guys. I love that you're doing this.
they're like laser beams coming out of Johnny's head right now. we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with the news. All right, and we're back. Everything is better in Berryville, broadcasting live. And right now, it's time for the news with your host, Johnny Pizzolatto.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the news live from Berryville.
You sound so legit with that music.
You legitimized me with this music. I really love it. Thank you very much.
The most legitimate thing about this show.
All right. December 3rd is the annual tree lighting in Berryville. It's the third annual drive-up tree lighting where you can stay in your car with your family and listen to it across the street and take in the sights and sounds over the radio on WJFF, or you can crowd around the tree and be merry with your friends and neighbors, hosted by Aaron West and friends. I think we're going to have an appearance from our own Mike Rocket Train Edison, lots of wonderful holiday characters, hot cocoa, cookies, merriment, and it's all made possible with the help of Dare Oscar Tree Service. Pam and Steve, once again, are going to be lifting Aaron West up that 30-foot spruce to light the top of the tree and bring joy to kick off the holiday season.
I can dig it. Last year I came out. It was kind of my star turn last year here locally doing the Grinch. It was all right. I got a big pop out of it. I think it put me over with the local citizenry as it is.
Don't cut your chickens, buddy.
Well, this year I'm coming back with the Grinch, but I need some help because I need to rewrite some of the gags, and I'm having a hard time rhyming anything with Berryville General. It's a lot easier to rhyme Stick It In or Back to Baker's. So if anybody can help me.
Email us. BetterInBerryville@gmail.com. So, and that stands for anything you hear today on the show, any comments, whatever you want to do, assault us, compliment us,
give us ideas and
writing words, send us photographs, whatever you're into, BetterInBerryville@gmail.com, or you can visit us on the web at BerryvilleRadio.com. Check us out.
All right, here it comes. Oh my goodness. All right, John, what do you got next?
Speaking of high times.
Were we speaking of high times?
We're just reciting your bio to the world out here.
Yeah.
Like sex, drugs, and rock and roll,
guy. Yeah, like I said, that's not a bio, dude. That's a crime scene.
Your bio is a crime scene. Narrowsburg, or rather the town of Tustin, just voted no on the referendum that was passed by the town board which forbade dispensaries and on-site consumption services of marijuana. But I believe that this means that they are allowed now because the voters have spoken and they would like to see those things in their town. But I do think that it was purposely confusing
because they
know the audience who's going to come out and vote either way.
And it's so confusing because the town board voted
no,
but to vote yes, you had to vote no again. So I think it's a conspiracy to confuse donors.
But it passed. So
there will be on-site retail and smoking in Narrowsburg, which is a hamlet in the town of Tustin. And, you know, Barryville also opted in for retail.
The town of Highland, yes.
The town of Highland for retail, but not on-site consumption. And you'd be surprised. I know I'm the High Times guy, but I'm kind of conservative about this. I don't think the money is as good as you're going to think it is. I think it's going to create problems that you can't imagine. And we'll talk about this in a future show. I know everybody thinks I'm the High Times guy and I'll be all gung-ho.
Wow, Mike, wow.
Yeah, well, you know, I know everybody thinks this is going to be like a big, you know, a green rush towards having some hip boutique-y cannabis store.
Well, let Port Jervis be our guide. I mean, store, I walked into that place just out of curiosity to be a good neighbor. I wasn't intending to buy anything. My friend Steph and I were antiquing and, you know, just shopping around Port Jervis. And we just wanted to find out who the people were and congratulate them on their new business. And they knew nothing about their products, and it felt dangerous.
Well, that's the wrong side of the coin. I went in there to buy something, frankly. And no, they're not knowledgeable. It's not that cool, hippie, chic experience. It's
like
not curated.
A California or a Massachusetts thing where you feel like you're in an Apple store.
Oh my God, I was in a place in Toronto, and you know, a young woman in a lab coat and an iPad was my personal shopper. It was a fantastic
experience. I think they're called bud tenders.
This was not it. Anyway,
the man in Orange County was definitely not a bud tender, I'll tell you that.
No, but we're going to talk about cannabis on a future show. And I'm
with experts, including Mike Edison, who is an expert, former editor of High Times, one of our wonderful lawyer friends and dear, dear friends up here, Dave Holland, who was the attorney for Normal. We're going to try to get him on the show.
High Times veteran as well. And I'm bringing Barryville's most stoned citizen. That's an expert.
I actually want to hear you guys. I want to hear you guys tell us who you think the most stoned citizen is. So again, email us at betterinberryville@gmail.com. Nominate your favorite stoner in this town.
And by the way, what the hell do I need a cannabis dispensary for anyway? I haven't had a problem scoring pot since 1978 when I went to see Jethro Tull. And even then, someone came through at the last minute with a little Acapulco Gold. All right, what else you got?
whoa, it's getting dangerous over here. Sorry, it is deer hunting season. I also wanted to point out that the former president, Donald Trump, is now back on Twitter.
Wow, crickets.
Well, it was just a piece of news that passed my desk. He's back on Twitter. And I, frankly, would rather see him on Barryville and Uncensored. I think a Barryville and Uncensored is a much happier place for the former president. I think he'd get a lot of love.
I agree. I think Barryville Uncensored is the perfect forum. And for those of you out there, Barryville Uncensored is sort of the yin to the yang or the yang to the yin of our other page, local Facebook page. And I know all small towns have these Facebook pages, bulletin boards and whatnot. Living in Barryville, which is where you want to go if you need a quart of wood or a recommendation for a plumber to see the menu at Baker's that day. And,
but maybe, if you want to have it out with your neighbors and see how they really feel about everything, visit Barryville Uncensored.
I can't wait to see us get flamed.
It's raging.
All right, and that's the news.
All right, that's it.
We'll be back with basic bitches.
Yowza!
Ow!
Everything's better in Barryville.
Well, all right. Thank you very much, everybody. Wow, what a first show we've had. And I want to add, on a personal note, I'm so happy to be back on the Heritage Radio Network. I really feel like I'm coming home. So much love to all our old fans and all the new ones, too. But right now, right here, right now, right everything, live in Barryville, delivering some season's beatings, getting right into it. Our friends and neighbors, basic bitches, with I hope your holidays are fine. Let's go!
Time, honey girl, you know whatever. I hope you your mind.
Everything is better in Barrowville.
Everything.
All right. I can't believe that. Our first show. An embarrassment of riches.
Wow. One down, a million to go.
But wait, we're not done yet. I'm not kidding. This is a cornucopia of all that is wonderful about
Barrowville. 'Tis the season.
Oh, my God. Well, we had superstar Martha Wurtzel. We had super duper star Amber Tamblyn. I can't believe I got to hang out with you, Johnny.
I can't believe the Basic Bitches played such a rad holiday number for us.
I'm all a flutter. But before we go, we got one more thing. We kind of teased our new theme song, Everybody's Talking, a good cowboy song. And I want to play your dance mix and go out like on a nice 80s groovy kind of note. You promised me disco and you gave me 80s dance music, but let's let the people judge.
All right. Well, here you go. Let me know what you think.
All right. We'll see you guys next
week.
Thanks
for listening. We love you.
All right. Can you dig it?
Everything's better in Barrowville.
This show is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.